Convention Center less than a month before the 2024 Summer Olympic Games begin. Joining us now is USA Fencing CEO Phil Andrews. Welcome, Phil, to Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, you could have chosen anywhere in the United States for this competition. What made Columbus stand out?
You know, Kate, a fencing tournament of this size requires an enormous amount of space, you know, about 100 fields of play. So think about a volleyball court or a football field. We need 100 of those, albeit our field of play is quite a lot smaller. So there's only about 40 roughly convention centers in the entire United States that can fit a tournament of this size with this many people. That said, Columbus, home to Ohio State, it's home to a fairly decently sized fencing community. We've been, as I think some people know, in Columbus many times for events before. For a long time, fencing had an event at the Arnold Sports Festival as well. So we've got a long history with Columbus that makes it very easy for us to come back to Columbus again and again, and so too Cleveland and Cincinnati nearby.
More than 6,000 fencers from 45 states and 10 different countries will be headed here for the competition. How much has this event grown over the years?
So this is actually the world's largest fencing competition of all time. So the last time, interestingly, that I remember, I've been in fencing about 2 years previously. I was with USA Weightlifting. But during my time at Weightlifting, I remember there being I think it was 13-day competition. Interestingly enough, was also in Columbus, which was the last time people said, this has got to shrink a little bit. the sport's really growing in the United States generally, a lot driven by great NCAA programs like Ohio State and others across the country, and in Ohio, Cleveland State as well. But you know, the biggest growth is coming in that youth area between the ages of sort of 14 and 17, a lot of whom are going to be there in Columbus and have qualified for the nationals. So it's growing. It's growing across the country. It's growing in Ohio. And during the Olympics, we'll actually have an opportunity for people to try fencing, not in Columbus, but in Cleveland at the Croker Park Mall and at Legacy Village.
Phil Andrews is the CEO of USA Fencing, and in Columbus from June 29th through July 8th, the USA Fencing National Championships and Summer Nationals will be hosted. This is a really big event, and to kind of piggyback on what you mentioned about schools like Ohio State, this type of event is also a great recruiting opportunity for NCAA programs, including OSU's, which has won 3 national championships since 2004.
Yeah, it's a really great area for us, the Ohio State program has been a cornerstone. Right now, Harvard are the champions. I'm pretty sure Coach Don Anthony would rather like to change that next year. The NCAA championships were actually at Ohio State this year in March, and we had a great time there. Harvard and Notre Dame took it right to the wire to see who got the championship home. And sadly, our friends at Ohio State didn't quite get there, but they had a great performance nonetheless.
Phil, if you could, take us through some of the logistics of an event of this scope. How many total events are there? What age range are we talking for competitors? Things like that.
So age range, you've got, it's the whole shebang from start to finish, almost cradle to grave. We call it a lifetime enriched by fencing. And I think our youngest competitor is around 8. And our oldest competitor, I believe, will be somewhere around 87 or 88 years of age. So that goes right through our youth categories all the way up to our what we call veterans. Some sports call it masters, which is overaged athletes, frankly, like myself. I won't be fencing, but I'm certainly in that age category, who will compete if for a chance, in their case, to go to things like the Pan American Veterans Championship and World Veterans Championship, which will be hosted in Dubai in October. We hosted it actually in the U.S. in October of this past year.
And while none of the members of the 2024 U.S. Olympic team will be competing at the event in Columbus, this type of event is still kind of important for aspiring members of the U.S. Olympic team to get some training and experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We've got a number of camps happening there with some of our teams and bringing our Olympians together. And it's a nice send-off as well for those Olympians from their own community in fencing. We have one Paralympian actually locally from Ohio, Byron Branch, who will likely also be in and around the championship. The Paralympic Games occurs just a little bit later at the end of the summer, but a nice local link for our Ohio group.
And there are some former Olympic athletes or Olympians from past games that actually will be competing in some of those masters divisions that you talked about, right?
That's right. So our Olympic legends often continue or sometimes retire, and then they might come back because they just simply love the sport. And there'll be a few of those. There'll also be a number of Olympians, both from the United States and from other countries, who will be coaching at the event. So your chances as you wander around and take in some fencing there in Columbus, look to the person to your left and the person to your right. They might well be wearing an Olympic ring.
That's pretty impressive. That would be a very cool experience. Is there anything else people in Ohio need to know if perhaps they're considering coming as a spectator for the fencing championships and nationals? What can an uninformed viewer like myself look for?
It's free. Come on down. See if you like it. The pole vaults go to 5 and then our direct elimination. So it works like a tournament, just like tennis or wrestling or so forth. Those go to 15. Come down, enjoy it. See who gets the first of 15. And if you like it enough to do a little bit more, find your local club. Go and give it a try.
The USA Fencing National Championships and Summer Nationals at the Greater Columbus Convention Center, June 29th through July 8th. Don't miss it. It's going to be a really exciting time. And you may just, as Phil said, be standing next to a future or former Olympic athlete. Phil Andrews, the CEO of USA Fencing, thank you so much for joining us today on Ohio Sports Magazine.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
The Fan app is about to become your new best friend. Your one-stop shop for all your favorite fan shows. ESPN Columbus and BetQL. Live or on demand, listen on your schedule. Download the 97.1 The Fan app today. It's free. Do it. Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
I am Kate Burdett, and today this is a really interesting book we're going to talk about, Played, the Games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics. One of Ohio's favorite sons, Jesse Owens, made a big impact at the 1936 Olympic Games. These two gentlemen are actually filmmakers who have spent the better part of 2.5 decades researching the political climate and the different elements that went into the 1936 Olympic Games. Please join me in welcoming to Ohio Sports Magazine Glenn Allen and Richard Kaufman. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Kate. Thank you for having us.
I'd like to start with you, Glenn, if I may. What was it that spurred you to get into this topic of research?
Well, it was actually Rick that introduced the idea. At the time, this is in the mid-90s, we were making a film, an independent film that I was directing and Rick was starring in, and we both wrote. And we had been starting to develop projects, and Rick brought me this magazine about the 36 games. And up to that point, the most I knew was probably what most people know is Jesse Owens and Hitler. But we looked into this further, and we saw these just incredible stories of so many athletes and so many great stories. It spurred us to write an outline for a TV series, which then became the book. Initially, we thought, well, this would make a great movie, but we just kept peeling back the onion and discovering these amazing stories, and it just got to be bigger than a movie.
Rick, what was it that grabbed your attention about the 1936 Olympic Games?
you know, as a filmmaker, I think everybody, or all filmmakers have watched Leni Riefenstahl's work, and Olympia was one of the greatest documentaries ever made. And my great uncle was a German Jewish downhill skier in the mid 30s. And he was as good as any Olympiad. And he was told he could not participate in the Winter Games that year, which were also being held in Germany, because he was Jewish. So that had always stuck in my mind when he had told me stories of that. And my family was in Germany at the time. So it had always been a part of me. And I wanted to find out more about, you know, how the lifestyle was there, just like, you know, regular people walking down the street. What was it like? And I think that that is what a lot of what our book is about. Like, we really put the reader in the middle of it all.
Absolutely. It really is sort of an immersive experience. Tell me a little bit, if you would, about your research project. Was it difficult to uncover information and to discover things? Did you meet up with any resistance along the way?
Not really. Well, it got easier the more we learned about it. And the hard part was, I guess, crafting all these stories into one entertaining piece, because the book is not a history book. It's a novel, and we tried to make it as entertaining as possible.
Were there any surprises along the way? Did you learn things that you never would have imagined?
Oh, most definitely. You know, being on an Ohio radio program right now, and I know you were going to bring up Jesse. One of the stories that really surprised me was, Jesse was part of it. And the story is really about the runner, Marty Glickman. He was a New York City runner. He was 18 years old. He was one of the last people to make the Olympic team. And he was one of only two Jews on the team. The other Jew was his partner, running partner in the 4x100 relay. Jesse was not originally supposed to run that. And at the very last minute, actually the morning of, the Americans were forced to pull their Jewish runners. And that was a decision our main protagonist, Avery Brundage, who was the head of the American Olympic Committee, he made that decision to appease Hitler. And it was just heartbreaking. But, you know, Jesse knew that the only way to get a fourth medal was that relay. And there wasn't much he said when that decision came down. There wasn't much he could say. But, you know, many of the runners spoke up and said, no, you know, they should run. And Jesse, you know, he just kept quiet and he won that fourth medal. And he, you know, became the superstar that he became. But, you know, there was many of these heartbreaking stories that led eventually to, you know, these wonderful accomplishments. So that was a big surprise.
I can't imagine being an athlete in that sort of environment and what so many of those athletes went through, especially the ones that were told, no, you can't actually participate now. We're changing those rules on you.
Well, a big part of the book is about this potential boycott, because a lot of people didn't want us to go. And a lot of people did. You know, even in 1934, there was even a pro-Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden. A lot of the athletes did want to go to stick it to Hitler. I think that was a big part of it, even though, yeah, they understood what was happening there. And also, a lot of the black athletes kind of pointed the finger back at America, saying, well, look how you're treating us.
Yep.
So how different is this really?
That's Glenn Allen. He and his writing partner, Richard Kaufman, have spent 25 years meticulously researching the 1936 Olympic Games, of course, hosted in Germany. Ohio's Jesse Owens at those Olympic Games. There's famous imagery involving him on the medal podium at the Games, kind of, shall we say, sticking it to Hitler. Gentlemen, what is the takeaway that you want readers to get from your book, Played, the Games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics?
Well, I think we want the readers to read this book and figure their own sense of the parallels to today, because it's hard not to see them and it's frightening at times, but we want them to, you know, understand that it's up to them to see that. But also we want them to realize the celebration that was sport and what these athletes did, like Glenn said, to rise above the politics that we show. And that's what we really want the readers to take away, is that, you know, we want them to get up and cheer for these athletes when we describe in full their events. I mean, we become sportscasters at the end of the book. I mean, we're doing play by play of some of these events, and it's very exciting. So it's hard not to want the reader to, for their blood to rush and be really into it and cheer for their athletes.
Richard Kaufman and Glenn Allen, thank you so much for your time today. The book is Played, the Games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics, as we are, of course, in the run-up to the 2024 Games in Paris. What a great summer read for you as you head to the beach or wherever. Check out wherever you buy your books, Played, the Games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics. Glenn and Richard, thank you so much for being on Ohio Sports Magazine today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Did you know 38% of Ohio's teenagers have spent money on gambling in video and online games? Items like mystery boxes, skins, and spin to win mimic gambling, putting children at a higher risk of experiencing a gambling disorder as an adult. So get in the know about youth gambling and start the conversation with discussion guides, parent resources, and more at changethegameohio.org. That's changethegameohio.org.
A healthy body needs good food. This summer, the Ohio Department of Education and Workforce is sponsoring Sun Meals, a summer food program where kids eat free. Children under 18 receive healthy meals and no sign-up is required. Locations may be right in your neighborhood. Call 1-866-348-6479 or visit education.ohio.gov/kids-eat for meal locations and times. That's education.ohio.gov/kids-eat.
Beech leaf disease is contributing to the significant decline of beech trees. Since its discovery, BLD has spread rapidly in the northeastern United States. Beech leaf disease first presents itself as banding between the veins of the leaves and progresses to canopy decline. There are several products that have proven to be effective at controlling beech leaf disease that are labeled for use in Ohio. For more information, visit treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
Hi, I'm Josie. My daughter turns 5 today. Blow out the candles. I'm also an Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper. When you move over and slow down, you're not only giving me room to work, you're making sure I can get home to celebrate with my daughter.
Roadside workers have lives and families, but when they're on the job, they put it all on the line to protect and serve us. Let's all give them room to work. When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal, regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. To find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit associationsadvanceohio.com.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Worf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
Columbus is a soccer town. We've known that ever since the crew joined the MLS in 1996 and built the first soccer-specific stadium in the U.S. in 99. A quarter of a century later, Columbus will show the world what it has to offer with the Summer of Soccer. Here to tell us more about all the exciting football events happening is Jesse Giorzi with the Greater Columbus Sports Commission. Welcome, Jesse.
Hey, good to be here.
Wonderful to have you. What is it about Columbus that attracts the largest soccer organizations?
Yeah, I think I forget which person said it, but it was a former U.S. men's national team player. It's called Columbus, the spiritual home of U.S. soccer. And so I think there's been a ton of success here. The fans have obviously gravitated towards these matches. Columbus was the first city in quite a few World Cup qualifying cycles on the men's side to host two World Cup qualifiers last time around before the 2022 World Cup. And so those games sell out fast. Crowds, American fans show up in huge numbers with loud voices and just happens over and over again. The U.S.-Mexico rivalry is, one of the core storylines there is Dos Acero, which has happened, that scoreline 2-0 U.S. win several times in Columbus. And so I think, Columbus loves its sports, but especially has shown a proclivity to loving soccer, with the Crew being one of the founding teams in the MLS. And the Crew success obviously has helped that out and continuously adding more and more soccer fans. And so I think just, you when you're the U.S. national team on the men's or women's side, you're looking for a place that's going to have not only a full crowd, but, a full voice as well. And we've got that in Columbus because of the passionate fans here and a great soccer culture in the past. It's only going to continue to grow and hopefully give us the upper hand, I was just using a soccer term, upper hand when we look to host more of these major soccer events.
Jesse Giorzi is with the Columbus Sports Commission. 2024 is being dubbed the summer of soccer in Columbus. Looking ahead in the schedule, there is an incredible slate of games and events in the span of 11 days. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, that's really when it peaks. Starting on July 24th, really even the weekend before that with some other events supporting the MLS All-Star Game. But the main event is July 24th. The MLS All-Star Game will be in Columbus for the third time, first time since, I think, 2005. So first time at lower.com field. It's an awesome time to be there. It's going to be, have some of the best players in the country, the best players in the world, that play in the U.S. will be there. And that'll be an absolute festival. That event's sold out more than a dozen years in a row. There are, again, some more supporting events, Skills Challenge the night before, which is a newer kind of fun way to show off some of the soccer player skills and some other events that'll be going on around that weekend. But that's, as you said, the first of three. Just 3 days later at lower.com field, the Columbus Crew will play Aston Villa on July 27th. Aston Villa is a team in the English Premier League that's competing for a top four spot, which would give them Champions League play. So a very strong English Premier League team that's stopping in Columbus as part of their off-season tour of the U.S. And then the final one, which will have the largest crowd of the three because it's at Ohio Stadium, will be the Premier League powerhouses Man City and Chelsea. Man City currently in a title fight with Liverpool and Arsenal in the Premier League, and they won the Champions League and the Premier League last year. It's kind of a fun look back. The Crew played their first game ever in 1996 at Ohio Stadium, and here 28 years later, Manchester City and Chelsea are probably two of the 8 or 10 biggest clubs in the whole world. Back in 2016, when PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, and Real Madrid came to Columbus, it was 85,000 plus fans. So fingers crossed we can have even a larger crowd then. At the time, that was the biggest soccer crowd in the history of Ohio. So hopefully we can top that. Again, both of those teams choosing Columbus on their preseason tours. And so it's something that I think, the biggest reason is the stuff I talked about before. The fans show up for it. If it's Crew, if it's MLS All-Stars, if it's women's national team, men's national team, if it's international teams, Columbus fans and Ohio fans love soccer and they really show up for it. So, all told, I think between those three events, it's going to be close to, if not over, $40 million estimated direct visitor spending for the city. So a huge, huge influx of dollars. And that's really what it, comes down to for us, the Sports Commission. That's one of the key things for us is wanting to, help with human and economic development in Columbus and bring those dollars here. And those dollars stay in the community, directly. They're spent at restaurants, hotels, bars, stores, retail places, experiences in Columbus, but then those dollars stay here and continue to roll over and boost not only economic dollars in Columbus, but just gives, you know, some excitement and another awesome list of things to do this summer in Columbus.
Absolutely. And July 24th is a big date because I remember however many months ago it was that it was announced that the MLS All-Star Game was coming here this coming summer. The city saved the crew from leaving just a few years ago. And of course, now beautiful, brand new Lower.com Field, this amazing facility where they play and where they won a championship. Jesse, what can you say about what the moment of having the MLS All-Star Game here means to Columbus?
Yeah, I mean, and especially after earning the right, but with on the field play from the crew, as you mentioned, hosting the MLS Cup at Lower.com Field in 23 and also hosting in 2020 an historic crew stadium. And then the community, you know, and the crew and the ownership group there and everybody around it supporting this bid to bring the MLS Cup, or excuse me, the MLS All-Star Game here. It's just really special. I mean, you know, not that long ago, it's under 10 years ago that it looked like, you know, there might not be professional American soccer's highest level in Columbus, period. And then, you know, obviously a lot more complex and incredible of a story than that. But, you know, generally fans are like, no, we don't think so. We like our soccer. We're going to keep the crew. And now you've got since then a new stadium, two MLS Cups, and now hosting the MLS All-Star Game. So what a reversal of fortune. You know, it looked like, oh, we might not have the MLS. Guess what? Actually, we're having the two biggest MLS events in the year back to back. You know, the MLS Cup in December, where crew lifted that championship trophy, and then here. So it's just a really like a cherry on top of years later on the Save the Crew moment, but just a special opportunity. And people of Columbus fans and visiting fans have raved about Lower.com Field since it popped up. This is another feather in the cap of that facility hosting the All-Star Game.
So much exciting stuff happening. Jesse Giorzi from the Columbus Sports Commission, thank you so much for stopping by to give us all of this exciting news. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. And head to columbussports.org for more information. There's a Summer of Soccer page there that you can find that'll link you to all the tickets and information going on. But yeah, it's going to be an awesome, awesome summer of the world's game.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Bishop and Friends.
If athletes become employees, does unlimited transfer matter? When you hear Saban say all that he said over the last few years about we need an NFL model, this is the control back.
Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan Nation. This is ONN.
Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day says June is the busiest recruiting month in their calendar year. Football camps, official and unofficial visits are taking place all over the country, not just in Columbus. One of the top quarterback prospects in the class of 2025 is Bell Fountain senior quarterback Tavian St. Clair. He was busy this week in California turning heads at the Elite 11 quarterback camp. That's the nation's top quarterback prospect camp. St. Clair is an Ohio State commitment, but still has a senior season left before he steps foot onto campus in Columbus. He could be the fifth scholarship quarterback at Ohio State in 25. One or two might enter the transfer portal between now and then. That's a similar problem the Buckeyes face this year with five scholarship quarterbacks. ESPN's Paul Feinbaum was a guest on ONN affiliate WBNS FM in Columbus earlier this week, and Bo Bishop asked Paul how some top schools are handling the balance between constructing a roster that is championship ready now with acquiring top high school talent that won't be available until later in a transfer portal era that now includes unlimited transfers.
Well, I think what I heard was representative of what you said. You can't be thinking, okay, I've got a junior quarterback, so I need a new guy. Everyone knows this is a reshuffling. I mean, look at so many different programs like Georgia a couple years ago when they ended up with Justin Fields. I mean, that didn't last, and they knew it wouldn't. Something was going to give. I think the only exception to this rule has been Texas. They got Arch Manning, and he is sat. But again, most of us don't have the lineage of Archie, Peyton, and Eli Manning, and the guidance, and maybe even the financial security. So I think everywhere it's the same. Ole Miss had a couple years ago, you know, stockpiled four or five quarterbacks, and they knew they would lose some. I mean, look at Oklahoma, what Lincoln Riley was doing there. I mean, they were it was a revolving door, and most of them ended up leaving.
You have some familiarity. We actually cited the Arch Manning thing, and it almost feels like they're trying to, that family, like they're kind of putting him into a time capsule, that it's like the 1990s or the 1980s or 70s. Like, this is the experience, like even from the social media stuff, all of it, not being in the video game, like they are curating a very old school experience for him, and he appears to be on board with all of it.
He is, and I realize some young people may not remember this, but Peyton Manning in the 90s, as a junior, was projected to be the number one player in the upcoming draft. He stayed around for one more year. It didn't really solve very much because his team did not win the national championship, nor did he win the Heisman, nor did his status change. But that's highly unusual. And I remember 2 years ago, somebody was asking me, "Hey, do you think Bryce Young will come out?" Of course he's going to come out. He's the number one pick. He's already won the Heisman. So, I think the Mannings are the outlier, but I don't think, as you know, these young guys, they don't really care about all that stuff. They go, okay, I mean, you saw it with yours a couple of years ago. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason why he ended up showing up on the Ohio State campus, but he did, and he quickly left.
Yeah, he showed up a year early. They were like, "Wait, we'll be happy to have you, but does it have to be now?"
That's the way want you right now.
Can we wait a year? We'd like you to just stay at South Lake Carroll. That's fine. Since last we talked, we had the revelation that the Big 12 is open for business, the naming rights of the conference, and what I said on our show here was that's. I mean, you got to do whatever you have to do to stay alive and survive and to try to compete. And they're at least forward thinking in that. But that's fine. But then what stops the Big Ten and the SEC from doing the same? As we've had some time to digest this now, what do you make of what the Big 12 is attempting to do? And do you think that the SEC and Big Ten will follow suit?
Well, they did what they had to do, and all the pot shots of Brent Yormark. I mean, by the way, you knew what you were getting. I mean, you weren't hiring an academician. You were hiring a guy who has been in the entertainment world, and that's how you stay alive. I don't think the SEC and the Big Ten are ready for it yet, but that could change. And the reason I bring that up is, they have all their contracts locked down. There's a debate about the value of live events. I mean, it's going through the roof, but is there a ceiling? And at some point, I'm guessing that's part of the alliance between Petitti and Greg Sankey is, okay, why don't we both put our toe in the water together? Will they command a lot of money? Yes. I don't know why they don't do it, frankly. What else matters right now? I mean, do we really care if our players, if our stadiums, if our leagues look like NASCAR drivers? They already do in a way.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Want to see some football players try to play softball? Join us for Schmidt's Cardale Jones Charity Softball Game.
Why picnic when you can Schmidtnik? And presented by Monogram Homes and the U.S. Air Force. The Fashion.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
Time to discuss Cincinnati Reds baseball and hear from Steve Offenbaker of Locked On Reds with our Paul Keels.
As always, we get a chance to spend time with the guys that do the Locked On Reds podcast. And if you haven't checked it out, you really need to do so. Steve Offenbaker, as always, Steve, thanks for your time. And while we focus so much on the Reds, let's begin this week talking about the passing of Willie Mays. For those of us who are old enough to have seen him play in person, both at Crosley Field and at Riverfront, it's not hard to agree with those that say he was one of the best players ever to come down the sport. What are some of your thoughts as we have lost Willie Mays?
Well, there's no question. If you're talking about a list of players that could be considered the greatest of all time, the GOAT, a term we use far too often, Willie Mays has to be in that conversation. Rookie of the Year, when he came up for the Giants, a career where he was Rookie of the Year, two-time MVP, 24-time All-Star. He was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Anybody that's a baseball fan has seen the catch where he catches that ball running dead run to the center field wall, catches it over his shoulder. Everybody has seen that. In his career, he had a .301 batting average, 3,293 hits, 660 home runs. But here's the one that gets me. When I look at a player and consider whether or not they should be in the Hall of Fame, I look at WAR, wins above replacement. And if you've got 60 WAR in your career, 70 WAR, you're a Hall of Famer. Willie Mays in his career had a career WAR of 156.2. He was tremendous, tremendous, tremendous player. Great ambassador for the sport. I did the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati, and they honored him on the field as one of the greatest living players at the time. Just tremendous, the energy that surrounded him, the love the fans gave him. Big loss for baseball, big loss for people, and certainly where his family and friends are in our thoughts and prayers.
You know, Steve, when you think about the outfield that existed in the National League in the late 60s and early 70s of Roberto Clemente, Willie Mays, and Hank Aaron, doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And a guy like Pete Rose had a hard time breaking through in those discussions.
It's true. I mean, you're looking at guys that, you know, we talk about players that reinvent the sport, reinvent their position. And we've seen our fair share of that in Cincinnati with guys like Davey Concepcion and so on and so forth. But that time, you know, that's the Renaissance period of baseball. You know, people like to talk about going back and talking about the 27 Yankees or going as far back as you can go. But that time, the 60s, the 70s in baseball, that is when the game changed and the energy changed and the excitement level around what players could actually do, you know, physically changed. And those guys, including Willie Mays, had a huge part in driving the sport forward.
In talking about the energy being around a baseball team, and something that have neglected to bring up for a couple of weeks, Steve, but wanted to get your thoughts. When the Reds had the Ellie De La Cruz bobblehead night, a midweek game that had a packed house down at Great American Ballpark when Cleveland was in town, does it speak to the merchandise, number one, the excitement of Ellie De La Cruz, and at the time, the way the Reds were playing?
I think the biggest number one factor is just the love for Ellie and what he can be. He's not even the player that he can be yet, and this is the type of reaction that you're getting from the fans. You know, everybody loves Ellie. Everybody wants a little piece to commemorate Ellie being a member of this team. You know, Cincinnati has lacked for a while now, Paul, in just things to be really excited about when it comes to this baseball team. And that all changed last year. You know, 2022, 100 loss season. 2023, we start to get this youth infusion, and Ellie was a big part of that, and just what he's been able to do, the flashes that he's been able to show, the inside the park home runs, the stealing of three bases on two pitches, including a steal of home, the cycle, all of these things have just created a legend around him almost already. You know, Cincinnati, when they decide to love a player, they love a player, and Ellie is clearly loved based on what we saw from people trying to get those bobbleheads the other day.
Yeah, isn't that something? Steve Offenbaker from the Locked On Reds podcast. As always, thanks for your input, Steve. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Hey, folks, it's game day, and the betting's going to be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right. You got to pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Hey there, I'm Brad. I'm about to win the Tuesday Night Bowling League Championship. I'm also a highway worker for the Ohio Department of Transportation. When you move over and slow down, you're not only giving me room to work, you're making sure I can bowl the winning strike with my buddies.
Roadside workers have lives and families, but when they're on the job, they put it all on the line to protect and serve us. When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Worf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Beech leaf disease is contributing to the significant decline of beech trees. Since its discovery, BLD has spread rapidly in the northeastern United States. Beech leaf disease first presents itself as banding between the veins of the leaves and progresses to canopy decline. There are several products that have proven to be effective at controlling beech leaf disease that are labeled for use in Ohio. For more information, visit treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number four, ohio.org.
Do you want a job that is flexible, secure, and fun? It also offers excellent pay and is ranked as one of the best jobs in America, too. I'm talking about being a dental hygienist. And all you have to do is complete a two-year program after high school. Visit ODA.org to learn more and to start helping people love their smile. This message is brought to you by the members of the Ohio Dental Association.
Ohio Sports Destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
Time now to get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show with Jay Crawford. Here's producer Bodie Wells to set the scene.
Thanks, Kate. On the show this week, the guys discussed the Browns being part of this year's in-season Hard Knocks show.
Well, first off, absolutely, they got the personalities. I mean, you think Jameis Winston, for one, is going to be phenomenal on Hard Knocks. I mean, you think of just, you know, Myles Garrett, you got Nick Chubb probably be back. And the thing about the Browns is a lot of the people that we love and like to watch, we don't get to see them in a locker room setting. Like, we get to see them when they deal with the media. But I hear a lot of them, like Amari Cooper, even Nick Chubb, in that setting, in the locker room type setting, they actually show their character a lot. So I think from that perspective, it's great that these guys will be able to show their personalities.
To catch the full breakdown, just search for the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and enjoy their daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine show here on the Ohio News Network.
If you're obsessed with fantasy sports and gambling things, we have the slightly above average radio show for you. On the Money with Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Sunday morning at 9 on The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
That's all for this week's Ohio Sports Magazine. Thank you so much to this week's guests, USA Fencing CEO Phil Andrews, Glenn Allen, and Richard Kaufman, the authors of the new book, Played, the Games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics, and Jesse Giorzi of the Columbus Sports Commission. Thanks to all of our Locked On podcast contributors this week as well. For Bodie Wells, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Kate Burdett. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine. Join us next week here on the Ohio News Network.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.